This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:05 in the evening, and our first story of the hour is a rather sad one, really. Lawyers for Liberty, or LFL, have asked or wants the police to investigate the death of M. Purusottaman, who was a remand prisoner at the Sungai Buloh prison.
They claim that there were elements of criminal negligence which may have caused the death of the 25-year-old man. His cause of death was stated to be multiple organ failures due to disseminated tuberculosis.
So he passed away on May 25th after being brought to a hospital 4 days prior to that. And before he was hospitalised, his family members claimed that he had already complained of serious fever, intense pain and diarrhoea, but was only given a Panadol.
The family was also not informed that he had been admitted to the hospital, and they only found out after a fellow patient alerted them. LFL lawyer Melissa Sasidharan wants the Home Ministry and Prisons Department to accept responsibility for this death. She said a prison detention should not become a death sentence by a deadly disease due to apathy, negligence or a couldn't care less attitude by the prisons department.
So there are lots of things that are very disturbing about this, right? The fact that, I guess, first and foremost, it would have been something preventable.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I find it very worrying and very frightening, the fact that a family did not know that that a member of their family had been admitted to the hospital for a serious illness. I mean, I understand that you are, he was somebody who was in prison, but that doesn't mean that his family should not be able to know where he is or what's happening to him, or that his health might be in crisis. I mean, the fact that this whole story ended in a death is just an awful, awful thing. But even prior to that, the fact that the family was not informed, I that's a detail that I can't seem to get out of my mind.
Yeah, because it was a 4-day period that he was hospitalized, and they would have had the time and the room to inform family members. Perhaps what the prisons department was hoping was that he would get better and things would just go back to normal. But even in that case, it would still be very important to inform family members. And the fact that it's TB this time, you know, it does echo back to a report from the Malay Mail in 2017, where they found that TB is prevalent in prisons and detention centres. And I guess that just signals a worrying concern. He might have caught that from other prisoners who might also have TB, and they are also at risk of a disease or death, because, you know, if it's not treated well in this case, I can't imagine for the other cases that they'll do it justice as well.
Yeah, because I understand that we shouldn't be expecting staff to diagnose, but staff in prisons should be able to pick up early warning signs, right? Like, that's part of being responsible for the care of another human being or for the life of another human being. When that person does not have the freedom to seek out their own medical help, you are, in some cases, going to have to say that if somebody is experiencing intense headaches and pain and nausea and they can't walk, that perhaps a Panadol and a let's hope and pray kind of attitude, it's not going to suffice, right? And going back to the issue of the family, if he had told the family that he had been experiencing these symptoms, the other thing that I was curious about is, what effect can the family have on the outside in terms of advocating for his health? Because I'm not sure what could have been done, really. I mean, aside from an overhaul of the inmate healthcare system.
Yeah, and it does speak to perhaps the class that they come from, and whether they, because of it, were they limited to have those complaints and to have action taken, because you are not, in some eyes, someone that is necessarily important enough to take action upon. And it is also in the interest of the prison workers themselves, the officers there, to make sure that they are and that the fellow prisoners are also healthy, because they themselves, working in contact with potentially very sick people, they will bring those diseases back to their loved ones. And if they don't care right now, then, you know, what of them, right?
We have on the line right now Melissa Sasidharan, who is a lawyer with Lawyers for Liberty. Melissa, thanks for joining us. So can you tell us how the spread of disease is made worse when highly infectious prisoners aren't admitted to hospitals when they should be?
Well, our prisons are normally overcrowded with very limited facilities and close quarters. So in situations where there is a lack of ventilation, hygiene, cleanliness facilities, prisons or any detention centres are essentially an incubator for infectious diseases if the affected prisoners, they are not transferred out or quarantined on time. In fact, some prisons, because they are very old, they still use the bucket system instead of a modern toilet and running water. So the authorities definitely have to take prison health as a public health issue, especially since majority of inmates at the end of the day, they go back to community. So we have to ensure that prisoners are accorded proper and adequate health care and diseases are curbed during their incarceration. And that is also why international standards recommend that health care for prisoners, it should be on par with what you provide to the public. But this was clearly not the situation in Prusataman's case because the general attitude is that the health and the lives of prisoners or any detainee is just not as important. But if effective health care isn't available to them, then the prisoners have no other alternatives.
And who should be responsible for detecting the first signs of illness in prisoners?
The responsibility would first and foremost be with the prison wardens because they are the ones that come into contact with the prisoners on a daily basis. There are also medical officers stationed at prisons, but the numbers are limited and disproportionate to the total number of prisoners in prison. For example, I recall Suhakam having a report recently which stated that a prison with almost 5,000 prisoners only had two doctors available. So the issue is more of resources and training so that the prison authorities can take health care of prisoners more seriously because at present, it's only in very select and extremely serious circumstances before a prisoner is sent to the hospital, such as the case of Prusataman when it is already too late. Otherwise, the medical officer or prison authorities would only provide minimal off-the-counter type medication, which is normally Panadol, as a cure-all for all diseases. Therefore, the Ministry of Health have to be more involved in addressing this issue together with the Home Ministry.
The family of Prusataman mentioned that he had earlier complained of serious fever, stomach ache, diarrhea, and had difficulty walking due to intense pain. Is there anything that families can do in such situations?
Well, in a typical case, unless they have access to lawyers or they know how to complain to higher authorities, then it is very unlikely. Otherwise, it's a matter of luck if a detainee survives their prison stay without any major health complications. But it would be very difficult, realistically, for family members to complain because of the hostile environment and the fear of retaliation from their loved ones in prison. As I understand from the family, Prusataman himself had complained to the prison authorities several times, but all he was provided with was Panadol. And the families were not in a position to tell how serious his health condition was. And that's why this is something that the prison wardens and the medical personnel at prison should have addressed from the very beginning.
There also appeared to be lapses in communication along the way in this case. Is the prisons department responsible for communicating to prisoners' families when these changes in circumstances happen, for example, being hospitalized?
Unfortunately, in my experience, the prison authorities don't seem to think that they have a responsibility to inform family members in such serious cases when inmates are hospitalized. Of course, this has to change because prisoners are under state's care and the families are completely reliant on the state to provide the information. So if you don't inform the families when their loved ones are hospitalized or when something serious happens, then, you know, surely you don't wait until the prisoner is dead, then only you inform. That cannot be right. And it would honestly be a heartless policy.
Are there problems with the existing procedures when dealing with custodial deaths and the investigation of these deaths that need to be addressed to prevent cases like this in the future?
All deaths in custody, irrespective of whether it happened in lockups, in police lockups, prisons or immigration detention centres, they have to all be treated with suspicion because all detainees, they are in a very particularly vulnerable situation. So regardless of whether it is according to the authorities that the death was caused by an illness, by suicide or a sudden death, it is incumbent on the police, because then it becomes a police case, it's incumbent on them to investigate. And a post-mortem should be called so as to investigate the actual cause of death and also to call for an inquest to investigate the circumstances around surrounding the death.
Why aren't these cases better or more frequently reported?
In many of these cases, say for foreigners, nobody knows because their family or their next of kin are not known, or they could be less aware of their rights, as typically they come from a poorer background. It is only recently that lockup deaths have come to public consciousness. For example, in the case of Karuna Niti, because in these cases, they died while on remand under police investigation. So for health-related issues, I find that there is a lack of care on the part of the authorities because this is the system and this is the condition that we have. So the attitude seems to be tough luck. And also many of these cases, when it relates to illnesses or health-related issues, the attitude seems to be that it is something not so shocking as brutality inflicted by the authorities.
You've said that the lapses in procedure in this case have violated the Prison Act 1995 and the Prisons Regulations 2000. Could you give us an idea of what the Act covers exactly? Do amendments need to be made to better protect prisoners?
Actually, the Prison Act and the Prison Regulations, they do provide for the authorities to take measures to admit seriously ill prisoners to hospital and to further treat and to quarantine the prisoners with infectious diseases. But in practice, this is not done to the standard that is required, perhaps due to apathy, negligence, lack of resources, facilities. So it is not a matter of amendments. It's more of the authorities changing their attitude and take the health of prisoners much more seriously. Currently, the authorities are reluctant to send prisoners to hospital because there is also a logistical issue and a concern of security if a prisoner is brought out, because then you need at least two escorting officers, for example. So in terms of healthcare, the current practice of sharing medical supplies and facilities with nearby hospitals is also certainly not adequate. And there must be sufficient in-house facilities and medical personnel to be able to immediately address any health issue before it gets worse.
You've called for a probe into this. What do you hope to see as a result?
We want there to be changes in the standard operating procedures, in the SOPs, so that the health of prisoners are taken much more seriously. Because what is the point of sending Prusotaman to the hospital when he was already in a very critical stage and essentially dying? Because he would have been ill for at least a few months. So why was he not provided with proper medical attention? TB is curable and the disease should have been detected much earlier and treated much earlier.
Melissa, thank you for sharing your perspective with us. That was Melissa Sasidharan, a lawyer with Lawyers for Liberty. More after this on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.